Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Joy Lesnick, Acting Commissioner of the National Center for Education Evaluation and Regional Assistance within the U.S. Department of Education. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Kirsten Schroeder. So, Joy, I talked to many of my guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies and branches of government and with the private sector to achieve mission results. How are you leveraging partnerships to improve management operations and your program outcomes?
Well, the What Works Clearinghouse standards themselves are the result of a collaboration and consensus of scholars, both inside and outside of government. Since the What Works Clearinghouse was established, other clearinghouses at other agencies have been established, and many of them rely heavily on the clearinghouse's standards as foundational for their own standards. So there are similar clearinghouses at the Department of Labor and the Department of Justice, for example. There are some key differences, and the Clearinghouse for Reviewing Studies in Education remains the biggest and most well-funded. But we participate in a cross-agency working group of federal clearinghouses to coordinate and also find that the ideas shared there help extend our work. Outside of government, contractors in the private sector are essential to the success of the clearinghouse investment. That also includes university professors and students who are involved in the What Works Clearinghouse in a variety of ways.
Great. Looking forward now, looking into the future, what are you doing to continue the build of that strong foundation, expand the topic areas, gain new audiences, maybe go in new directions you haven't been able to contemplate at this point, but thinking about in the future?
Well, we started by expanding the size of the What Works Clearinghouse team at IES. For many years, there was one project officer and one contract. And now we have four project officers involved in different capacities and five active contracts doing the work of the clearinghouse. And I think this expansion provided the institutional capacity to sustain a complex investment, both in the field and at IES. 3 years ago, we expanded to include post-secondary topics in our systematic reviews, and we continue to add more topics for review. We started off in topic areas that had the strongest evidence base, typically math and reading, but we have grown substantially since then. We also look at interventions designed specifically for groups of students, like students with disabilities or English learner students, for example. When the Department of Education included evidence as a requirement for discretionary grant competitions, including that as a goal, as we discussed at the beginning of our conversation, that also really strengthened the foundation and centrality of the What Works Clearinghouse as an anchor for collecting and summarizing high-quality evidence about the effectiveness of programs and interventions. And that seems poised to continue as a priority moving forward. I don't think we're trying to gain entirely new audiences, but rather to become more well-known among our key audiences across the country. And that key audience is decision makers at all levels of the educational system. Researchers are also a key audience, and we hope to continue to engage more of them as well.
So the clearinghouse, you guys are talking about it. Has there been discussion as other agencies or program owners come to you and say, hey, listen, can we take your template and export it into a different program area? And what's the conversation like? Has it happened, A? Are you doing it, B? And what do you see for the future?
Sure. So there are other federal agencies that have clearinghouses similar to the What Works Clearinghouse, and many of them use our standards as the foundation for their standards. And there's a lot of similarity across these clearinghouses and the standards that we use. There's also some slight variations due to the different topic areas, but there is actually a lot of coordination and similarity. We have a cross-agency working group. I think there's a lot of effort and interest in coordinating them all together. I think that that is challenging and maybe a long-term vision and goal. But we have a new open data initiative where all of the information, so we create a lot of data when we review studies. It's basically like a gigantic Excel spreadsheet where reviewers put information from the studies into the Excel spreadsheet, and that becomes the data that we use about the sample size, about the effect sizes, all these different corrections, all the information about the study. And that information becomes our data. And so we are revamping our databases presently to make that information easy to export, to put into whatever other format, combine it with whatever other information, to make whatever other report you would like to make from it. So all that information actually is available in exportable file currently on our at our Find What Works tool right now at whatworks.ed.gov. And it will become even more searchable and even more amounts of data that you can manipulate on the website in the future. So we encourage it. We recognize our own limitations, but we encourage that other agencies, other organizations, other websites take that information and use it in a way that makes the most sense to them.
Let me ask a follow-on question. Particularly when you think about the global economy, one thinks in terms of, you know, various educational entities around the world, methods. Have you had any opportunities to look at kind of the way the What's Work Clearinghouse, how NCEE does its work vis-a-vis other, let's say, educational entities across the globe in other countries?
Sure. We have had some. There's a similar clearinghouse, I think, in the UK in education. In this country, this is the biggest and oldest clearinghouse of information like this in education or other fields. It really is the most well-funded. We've had conversations with USAID about creating one in their Latin American education program for reading in that context. And we've had conversations all along the way as other agencies have developed their clearinghouses. So I think there's a lot to learn from each other, and then there's also important variations from topic to topic. I think there are some places where they overlap, but not very many. Education has some pretty set bounds mm-hmm. as it relates to topic areas.
So, Joy, this has been a wonderful conversation. I'd like to get some advice from you. What advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
Well, I feel really fortunate to get to do the work that I really enjoy doing at the federal level, because I think there's plenty of room for creativity and problem solving and a variety of work, along with producing work that can contribute to education improvement in this country. I think things don't have to be done the way they've always been done, even if the procedures are entrenched in the bureaucracy. Government certainly has difficulty changing direction quickly, but even the small turns we make can have big ripples across the country. And this kind of change is more of an evolution rather than a revolution, which is a good thing in a democracy, by the way. But public service needs people who can lead that kind of change, who can work well in a team, who have a vision as well as the patience to operationalize what steps to take, and then the flexibility to go with whatever comes your way. It's a different responsibility and feeling than the private sector. That's not just because the budgets are a little tighter. Working in public service as an education researcher means less time to pursue your own research questions, but lots of opportunities to listen to practitioners and policymakers about their needs and then try to organize our processes and incentives to meet those needs. For example, we heard from people that better communication about how to use the What Works Clearinghouse resources was needed. So we worked on improving communication and explanation about those resources, about our reports, about our processes. We heard from some professors of teacher and principal training programs that they were using What Works Clearinghouse materials in their classrooms. So we developed a webinar to share that information more broadly. And we've heard through the questions to our help desk that there were misunderstandings about how the What Works Clearinghouse works, so we created a fact-check quiz on our homepage to be more transparent about our processes in an engaging way. And then we heard the question, what does the What Works Clearinghouse do? And realized that all of our current materials and explanations weren't cutting it, so we created a series of infographics to try to explain our purpose and our processes more clearly. And so I really enjoy being in a position at NCEE where we can be responsive to what policymakers and practitioners' needs are, and especially when our responses help support improvements. As the public's needs change, our responses will change, and I think that's a great opportunity and responsibility to be able to serve the public in this way.
Well, Joy, this has been a wonderful conversation. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to be with us, but I'd like to thank you. But more importantly, Kirsten and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you both.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Joy Lesnick, Acting Commissioner of the National Center for Education Evaluation and Regional Assistance within the U.S. Department of Education. My co-host from IBM has been Kirsten Schroeder. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, an in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.